Great. All right. We are in a six-week series in Psalm 23, and we're exploring what it looks like to live trusting God as our shepherd. And last week, we looked at the first verse of Psalm 23, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." We talked about how significant it was that David started off his song, his poem, to God, his prayer, with the Lord. That when he says the Lord, it's a lot of times it could kind of glaze past us, be like, oh yeah, the Lord, God. But when he said that, it meant something powerful because who he was referring to was Yahweh. Yahweh is the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. This is the creator of the universe, the covenant maker who made a covenant with the Israelite people and fulfilled his covenant. He was always faithful to them. He was powerful and he was holy, set apart from anything else in the universe. That is who David is referring to when he says the Lord. So when he says the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, it makes sense. Because when Yahweh, when the God of the universe is my shepherd, I'm good. We talked about how Jesus, when he was doing his earthly ministry, referred to himself as the good shepherd. We talked about how Jesus is the fulfillment of the good shepherd. He is God in the flesh, God in human form. And he lived out what it looked like to be a shepherd. And for us today, as we put our trust in him, he is our shepherd. So with that in mind, we had this, that's kind of like the beginning sentence or the intro sentence or the thesis. How many of you guys in writing class write that? Like you write like intro sentence and then what's next? Like concrete detail, commentary. You guys still do that? No? Just me? Cool. Great. So that's kind of David's intro sentence or thesis sentence for the whole thing. And then as we go through the next five verses, it's kind of the concrete details and commentary of the thing, of the whole prayer. So today, we're going to be exploring the images of verse 2. And I think we will get some insight into what it looks like when we trust God as our shepherd. So let me pray for us as we dive in this morning. God, as I look out, I'm just grateful for this time that we get to spend together and grateful that we get to be here and worship you and dive into your word and learn about who you are and what it looks like to follow you. I pray that Psalm 23 would continue to come alive to us in fresh ways. For those of us in here that maybe it's kind of stale and boring and we're kind of used to just hearing it over and over again, that it would be fresh and new. I pray for those of us who maybe this is kind of the first time that we're hearing of Psalm 23, that you would just continue to place it just deep in our hearts, that as we study it, it would just come alive to us. I pray for each of us this morning that there would be something valuable, something important that we can take away and focus on. We love you. In your name, amen. All right, so in light of talking about vacations, I'm curious, what is the most restful thing for you? The most restful thing for you. So I don't want you to think like the most relaxing thing, but like the most restful thing. So think of the thing when you're like super tired or kind of just burnt out, you don't want to be around people. What's the thing that if you do it, it like brings you back to life? It re-energizes you, it refreshes you. Yeah, Sophia. Reading. So when you read, after you read, you're like refreshed and kind of like ready to take on the world again. Love it. Brogan. Fortnite. So when you're done playing Fortnite, you're refreshed. Okay. All right. Luke. Drawing. So when you draw, that's super restful for you. Energizes you, refreshes you. Isaac. Skipping? Okay. I was like, I just imagined Isaac like, I'm exhausted. Do you know what would help? Skipping. Like, go ahead. Sleeping. Yes, sleeping is recharging. Yeah. What? Sleeping too as well? I'll take one more. I want one more girl. Any girls? What's recharging for you? Reading was one of them. You want to sign to Charlotte? Was restful? No? Okay, great. Audrey is one rested individual. She's always rested. All right, hands down. So these things, for me, like, sleeping's for sure restful. Fortnite, probably not restful. I just get stressed and sweaty hands and, like, don't throw my, get mad. Did you have the same thing?
No, I remember you were at my house and you were, like, freaking out.
Yeah, I was freaking out. It's horrible. I hate that game. Not restful for me. But for me, when I go to the ocean, anytime I'm in the ocean, I leave the ocean feeling like a new man, like totally refreshed physically, emotionally. I'm ready to kind of take on the day. But for any of these things, and specifically for like the ocean, even when I spend hours in the ocean, or there's days, especially during the summer, where I'm surfing every single morning and I'm so stoked and energized, there's things in life that make me tired. And not just physically tired, but just that sense of being kind of just like worn out. Like my energy to kind of face the day is just low, and I'm not excited to do that. Do any of you guys ever relate to that? Where you're just kind of like, I just like don't want to get out of bed this morning. Like I just want to stay here all day long and like don't want this day to happen. I think a word for that, better than tired, is weary. And there's times in my life where I just kind of feel weary, just kind of worn out at the end of my rope. Like I just have nothing left to give. And I think there's certain things that make me feel that way more than anything. But as I was kind of thinking about what are the things that really wear me out? And at the core, my whole life, I've kind of struggled with approval, seeking approval of other people. Now, I'm not talking about just like people liking me, but I have this deep desire for people to think of who I am and what I do as great, as awesome. I want people to look at me and be like, I approve of you, Trevor. And that's something that made me a class clown in junior high. That's something that led to me really wanting girls to like me really bad and like not being myself and being weird because I just wanted to make them laugh. All the way to now, I'm 25 years old and God's taking me on a journey, but I still deal with wanting people to think that what I do and what I have to offer is great. And believe it or not, that's an exhausting thing to want after a while. Because the reality is, especially in my job or as a husband, there's things that I do or decisions I have to make that are going to disappoint people or I'm going to bum people out. And for me to carry that burden all the time, it wears me out. So that's for me. And I know for some of us, we probably all have that thing or those things that just kind of wear us out, whether it's circumstances in our life or things like myself where there's things that I'm trying to work through. But either way, we can all resonate that with that feeling, I'm sure. I love Psalm 23 because I think there's something that God has for us in this, in that regard, when it comes to those burdens. So turn to, if you have your Bible, Psalm 23, verse 2 is where we're going to be at this morning. And just an encouragement again, bring your Bibles. We'll give you overflow bucks if you bring them. If not, grab Bibles from the back before you sit down. But we're going to be in the Bible each and every Sunday. So I'm actually going to read verses 1 and 2, but we're focusing on 2. So we're going to kind of take it like that. So I'm going to start in verse 1. This is David talking about his relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. So we got a little bit into verse 3, but the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. Now, I love this image. I love the image of lying down in a pasture and being beside quiet waters. Like, it just feels, you can imagine, like, birds chirping. It just, like, feels nice, right? Now, for some of you, you might hear this, and you're like, that sounds lame. Like, that sounds boring. I don't want to be anywhere near an open pasture with no Fortnite or anything to do. Right? How many of you feel bored by that image? It's okay if you do. No one? Great. We all love it? Cool. You're
river to swim in, so.
Confession. Yeah, we got a confession in the back. Boring image. A little boring?
Cool. If I had a book, it wouldn't be boring. Because, like, when I read, I'm part of the story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. So Sophie's saying like, okay, that image in itself, not that awesome, but if I had a book in that image, like I'm set. That's awesome, right? So my point there is just to say, wherever we're at with this image, right? If we hear this and we're like, some of us are like, that's awesome, take me there now. Others of us are like, yeah, it sounds nice, but I'd rather be home. Wherever that is, I think the image has something for each of us this morning. So let's break it. We're going to break it down into sections. So the first part is it says, he makes me lie down. God makes me lie down. Now, can you remember a time when you were made to lie down? Okay, yeah. When?
When I was little, my parents wanted me to take a nap, but I didn't want to.
Yes, when you need to take a nap as a little kid. Aaron. Yeah, and you're like up, like wired. Yeah, Ben.
When I broke my leg.
When you broke your leg, they're making you lie down. Were you like in pain?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, all those things. I can remember two scenarios really clearly. Well, one of them was my parents told me about it, that when I was like 2 or 3 years old, I had really bad ear infections, which they didn't know at the time. But I threw the gnarliest temper tantrums. One of them being on Christmas Eve one time. They said that I screamed for like the entire night, like bloody murder the whole night. And my parents didn't take me to the doctor. What the heck? But then they found out it was because ear infections. But they told me that the only thing that would help is they had to like make me lie down. They would make me lie down and like hold me there until I would kind of cry myself to sleep and then I'd be good. And so that was one. The other one was when I was younger, I loved surfing, I loved skateboarding, I loved basketball. I would just go outside and play all the time. But there were certain times when I would have like football practice, youth group, and then I'd want to go to the skate park and do all these things where I would just wear myself out to the point where I would like hurt myself because I was so tired, where I'd like fall off my skateboard and they'd be like, you're gonna die. Like, that's not good. You need to rest. And they would make me go and lie down. They make me take a nap and kind of get refreshed and recharged. I think the two things that I was kind of thinking about with the image of being made to lie down is one, usually if you're being made to do anything, but particularly made to lie down, you don't really want to lie down, right? Usually you're a little bit resistant of like, there's a reason why you're having to be made to lie down. And I think there's something for us in this of God making us lie down. God making us lie down. He makes us rest. And we'll get into that a little bit of what that means. But this image of God making you rest. In the midst of the craziness, God makes you rest. And not only that, but he chooses the location of where we rest. I think about times where my parents made me lie down in not the best place. Like if I was at the skate park and my parents were like, you need to go lie down, that's not a good place to lie down, right? Because there's skateboarding all around. All I want to do, I'm distracted by it. But if we went home and I lied down on the couch and I had a nice glass of water and there's a cool breeze, oh, I was good. You know what I mean? So the location matters. So where does God make us lie down in this image? Green pastures. Now, when I think of green pastures, I think of a trip that I used to take growing up to Bishop with my family. And everyone knows of Bishop as like where you go through on the way to Mammoth. Yeah, right? Well, Bishop was our destination. So that was where we went for vacation on 4th of July, Thanksgivings, things like that. And this was the image. My uncle and aunt, or my mom's uncle and aunt, they had a house that looked over this meadow, this one right here, into the mountains. And a lot of times there was these beautiful flowers. Or sometimes during the summer, it was kind of dry and deserty, and there's like cows and stuff. But then there's also times when it's just nice green grass. So when I think of like green pastures, I'm like, that's nice. I like green pastures. But I think what's important for us in this is reminding that we are the sheep in this image. We are not like ourselves in this image. So what are green pastures for sheep? Yeah, Tate. Okay, so if they're in a green pasture, they might not be wandering off to different places. Yeah, Jordan.
They want
to eat the grass. Yeah, the pasture is where they go for food, for nourishment, right? What else is a green pasture for sheep? Yeah.
Kind of like the sheep's home. Like
yeah, yes, it's home. Yeah, I think those are great ideas of a green pasture for a sheep is where they're most at home. It's where they It represents rest for them. It represents nourishment where they find food. And I think of those times where, you know, when you have a long day, where maybe you're at the beach with your friends, that seems like the whole weekend, and you're all crusty, and you take a nice shower, and then you, like, when you crawl into bed, you kind of just, like, sink in, and, like, you can't help but just smile and be like, and then you're asleep, right? You know those moments of, like, deep rest? So good. And I think of, for a sheep, I would imagine, and particularly a sheep that David's talking about, like we talked about last week, where this is a sheep who's in the desert, and there's not a lot of water, not a lot of nice green pastures. But if they were to find a green pasture, if they were to be led to a green pasture, that feeling would come to them of like, oh, like I'm home. There's food. There's rest. This is good. And I think in that image, when I'm worn out, when I'm feeling like desperate for like a deep sense of rest and nourishment, oftentimes I turn to people's approval. Oftentimes I turn to try to fill that with people saying, hey, Trev, you're so great. And that energizes me for a little bit. But I think this image is saying, no, God wants to make us lie down, and he chooses the location. He wants to lie us down in green pastures. And I think of this image of God lying us down, or lying me down, and feeding me with truth, right? Where a sheep lies down and they're fed with grass and they're nourished and they're energized from that. And where they're eating in the same place where they're resting, right? It's their home. God lying us down and feeding us with the truth about who he is and what he does. So I think for me, like this idea of God feeding me with the truth that he loves me and he cares for me and that I'm valuable because he made me. And he made me valuable. Like, that's the truth that I need to focus on. And God, I need God to lie me down and remind me of who I am and why I matter. And that is going to give me a deep rest where I don't have to strive anymore for people's approval, but I could love people out of the overflow of God loving me. And that's so restful. Like, even just saying that, I'm like, oh, I want that. I want that so bad. So as God is my shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And think about that for yourself. Wherever we're at, we need God to make us lie down and to rest in him and his truth. So that's the first part of the image. The next part is he leads me. God is our shepherd. He leads me. And now, just saying God is my shepherd, we talked about, it kind of implies a shepherd is going to lead the sheep, right? But this is the only time in the passage where David actually says, God leads me. And you have this image of a shepherd leading sheep. A lot of time he's calling out to them and saying, come on, sheep, like naming them, and they listen and they follow him. Okay, not that way. Come this way. But we have this strong image of Jesus or of God leading as a shepherd, leading us and guiding us, going ahead of us and showing us where to go. Not just telling us of, oh yeah, go over there, but actually leading us in that direction. He makes us lie down and he leads us. Where does God lead us? Where does God lead us? Luke. Besides still water, besides quiet waters. Now for me, when I think of quiet waters, Natalie and I, we went to this place called the Azores in Portugal for our honeymoon. And we just wanted to get as far away from civilization as we could. But the Azores are a really cool like collection of islands, kind of like Hawaii, but they're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. So they're 5 hours from Boston and 5 hours from Europe. It's like smack dab in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And it's beautiful. And the crazy thing about the island that we stayed on is where there's a bunch of hikes, and we went on a couple hikes like this one where you look in one direction and you have the ocean all around you. So all over here is the ocean, and you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, so you see wild waves and wind and like crazy ocean. And in the middle, there's these two massive lakes, one on this side and then way over on the other side of the island, there's a lake that looks almost identical. And you look to the side and you see these wild winds and waves and things like that. And then you look to the middle and you just see quiet, still waters. Now, as a surfer, I love waves. I love the ocean. I love the wildness of it sometimes. But there's nothing quite like still, quiet water. Like if you've ever been by quiet water, I think of houseboats in the morning. Or I think of like if you've ever fished in a stream in like Idaho or somewhere like that, or wherever you've been where there's quiet water, even a pool sometimes, there's something just calming and peaceful about being around quiet water. So I think we all can identify with the peace that comes with it. But again, for a sheep, what does still water represent? Yeah. Water, right. And what is water important for?
Drinking it.
Drinking it, living, right? Without water, we die. And believe it or not, sheep are not, like they don't walk around with hydro flasks to drink, right? So when they're thirsty, they need to find water. And believe it or not, what kind of water of a sheep would you want to find if you want to drink from it? Fresh, clean, still water, right? You don't want to walk up and see this raging waterfall and like if you're a sheep, try to like drink it and wah, like just gone. You can just imagine that image of being a sheep like getting taken down by a river. But if you're a sheep and you're led to quiet waters, you can imagine the feeling of relief, the feeling of, oh my gosh, we found quiet water where we can drink and be refreshed. And I think that's an important image for us to understand for ourselves as well. When I feel like everything around me is kind of falling apart, or when I feel like the circumstances in my life are burdening me or weighing me down, whether it be things at home or in our friend groups or the pressure of school, whatever that is, when I feel that lying me down to where it's dehydrating me, it's exhausting me, where I need to be refreshed, God wants to lead us to quiet waters, to fill us with refreshment and rest and peace. He doesn't want us to get taken away by the rapids of life. He wants us to rest and to trust him and to drink of that water. I think in the same way as being led to a pasture and consuming truth, well, we need to be led to quiet waters and to be refreshed by the peace of God. When we go to God, we can trust that he's going to give us peace. Maybe the circumstances in our life aren't going to change all that much. But if we're finding our peace in God, then that's a different story. Because he transcends any circumstance that's going on in our life that's draining us of energy. We can go to him and look to him and find that in him. Now, like we talked about last week, Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. And he is good, like Jesus is good, but he's good at shepherding, meaning that we can trust him to lead us to green pastures. We can trust him to lead us to quiet waters in regards to our souls. We can trust him with that. He's a good shepherd. And as going through this psalm, it brought to mind when Jesus, the good shepherd, was talking to his disciples who were clearly burdened by life and the things that were going on. So you can turn with me or you can just listen. But Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew 11, verse 28-30. And he's talking to his disciples specifically because they're striving to earn Jesus' approval. They're striving to earn his approval. Matthew 11, verses 28-30. Matthew 11, verses 28-30. So they're striving for approval. They're trying to figure out how to live the fullest life possible, and they're trying to do what's right in God's eyes, and they're working really hard. And Jesus says this. If you're not there already, you can just listen. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's this beautiful image of Jesus saying, come to me if you're weary and burdened, if you're worn out by what's going on in life or by striving to earn approval. If you're worn out by those things, come to me and I will give you rest. I will lead you to green pastures. I will lead you beside quiet waters. And he says this, which is crazy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Who knows what a yoke is? Some of you have heard this image before. Brenner, what's a yoke? That's true. Egg yolks are delicious, but a different kind of yolk.
It's a piece of bread that goes over sometimes horses, but most likely oxen.
Yeah. So So back in the day, you would have like oxen. You didn't have tractors. Like John Deere wasn't alive yet. So you had oxen, and you would usually get two of them, and you'd put this what's called a yoke, which is just like a wood harness on these two oxen, and they would trot and plow and pull the plow behind them. And usually you would put a young one, a young bull with an older bull, and they would go together, and obviously the older, stronger bull would take more of the load, but soon this one would learn and take up more of it as that one got older and would be strong enough to do it on their own. So this image has a lot for someone who understands agriculture back then, which I don't, but I learned about it. But it's this image of Jesus saying, hey, whatever's burdening you, whatever's wearing you out, let me carry that with you because my burden is light. I'll take up any anxiety or fear or anything that you're experiencing here. Put that on me and we'll do it together. Again, not saying, oh, just give it to me and I'll take it away. I'll take away those difficult circumstances or that feeling of needing to earn people's approval from you. No, because he wants to do something in that, but he's with us in it. And there's a beautiful image of him giving us rest in that. So as I think about what are the things that weigh us down? What are the things that burden us? And I thought of a couple things. And first, there's kind of the category of the burdens of the world. So these are things like circumstances. You guys all could probably think of the circumstances in life that are hard, whether it be just home life in general, siblings, parents, all that kind of stuff going on, that can weigh you down, where going home cannot be something that's restful, but it might actually be something that is burdensome, right? Or circumstances at school where maybe your grades are really hard and it's hard for you to do well in school because you have a hard time focusing, and that just weighs you down, and the pressure weighs you down. Or the pressure to be known by other people, to be popular, to have more stuff, to have material things or new Fortnite skins or whatever that is, right? Some of these things are silly, but you know the feeling of just being weighed down or burdened by those things. I think of pressure, especially in Orange County, to live up to your family's expectations. Some of that is really good, and you guys have parents that really care and love for you, but a lot of times that pressure of getting into a good college or even just getting really good grades, like that pressure can weigh you down, and it's uniquely higher pressure to live in Orange County in that because everyone goes off to college, right? And you guys are in junior high, and I know a junior higher who is already in SAT prep. And if that's you, like, I'm not condemning you, but I'm just saying, like, think about that for a second. If you don't know what the SAT is, God bless you, right? But the SAT is a test that gets you into college if you do well on it. Think about that. Seventh grader doing SAT prep. Right? How much pressure would you feel about a test that you're going to take in 5 years? But that's real, right? And you guys experience that kind of pressure. And that can burden you. So those are things that in this world, or another thing, sorry, just one more. If you're not already overwhelmed, temptation, right? The temptation to live life the way the world wants you to live life. Pornography, dressing inappropriately, just Instagram photos in general of like the temptation and the pressure to post things just to get as many likes as you can, right? I can go on and on about the pressures of the world. And some of these things aren't bad, but if they're our motivation, if that's where we're going to find rest, we're just going to be more burnt out and more burdened. Does that make sense? Now, the other thing, which is really interesting, and this is one that Jesus actually talks about more, is the burden of religion. The burden of religion. And I'll just sum that up by saying striving for God's approval. Striving for God's approval. By doing things like going to church, right? Where you're like, I want God to love me and I want to be a good Christian, so I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray really good like my leader does during small group time. I'm going to do the right things on the outside so that overflow, so that my leaders, my friends at Overflow think I'm great. But then when I go to school, I kind of just do my own thing and do that, right? There's a burden to that pressure of trying to earn God's approval. Trying to be involved in as many good Christian things as possible, right? This doesn't actually accomplish what we want. Because ultimately, we can't earn God's approval on our own. That's a gift that he gives us in Jesus. He says, look, you're awesome, not because you're that awesome, but because I love you and I've made you and I'm just crazy about you. And that's why I sent Jesus to die for you so that we could be in a relationship. Like that is the kind of approval that we ultimately need. And I think ultimately, we're probably most burdened by a combination of the two, right? Burdened by this striving for God's approval and living for the world in that. And I don't know about you, but I know as I look at my life, I'm definitely worn out by that dance of trying to figure it out. And what God is saying is stop. Come to me. Let me I'm going to make you lie down and rest and consume truth about who I am and what I think about you. I'm going to lead you beside quiet waters where you can find peace and refreshment. That is where Jesus as our shepherd wants to lead us. So the conclusion, which goes into verse 3, is he refreshes my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. There's something beautiful about that word refreshed. Refresh means renewed strength and energy. And I think the key point is it's not just saying he refreshes you like a nice ice-cold Coke does or going in the ocean for me does. He refreshes your soul, the deepest part of who you are, the part that cries out for people's approval, the part that cries out and is weary and burdened, even if on the outside you look like you have it all together. Refreshment for your soul, the deepest part of you. Not just momentary strength or energy, but the deep refreshment. We need this. Our world needs this. You look at the world, and maybe not yet, but as I look at my generation, I look at people who are worn out. They're exhausted, and they've gone through what you guys have gone through. So the reality is that if you kind of keep going the way the world wants you to go, it's inevitable that you're going to wind up worn out, anxious, maybe depressed, whatever that is. There might be some good things in life, but at the deepest parts of you, we need Jesus as our shepherd to find refreshment for our soul. So as the worship team comes up, we're going to end with a question that I want us to just sit with for a minute. And Joey's going to hit the lights. And I want you just to close your eyes to kind of limit distraction. You don't need to close your eyes if that makes you even more distracted, but put whatever you have in your hands just on the ground. I want you just to close your eyes, take a deep breath. And I'm going to ask two questions, and then we're going to worship together. The first question that we're going to sit with God right now is, where do you need refreshment for your soul? Where do you feel burdened? Where do you feel like you just need Jesus to carry that burden for you? Where do you feel like you need Jesus to lead you beside quiet waters or into a green pastures? As you're thinking about that, I want you to think about what would it look like for you to actually surrender to God in that, to actually let God make you lie down, to let him lead you. As we process that, this morning we have an opportunity to worship and worship through song. And part of what worshiping through songs does is it connects our heart, like the deepest part of us. Singing can connect the deepest parts of us to God in the words that we're singing to him and for him and about him. And I think of postures as we worship. A lot of us sometimes naturally just want to raise our hands and we do that. Some of us, we're more comfortable just kind of closing our eyes or holding our hands or sitting or whatever that looks like. But this morning, my encouragement for us is if, if you sense that there's something that you just need to give to God, where you just need to surrender it and say, God, I'm done. I'm worn out. I'm over it. A posture that we could do during worship is either just to hold our hands out or to raise our hands. And that might seem uncomfortable or weird, but if it's something that you're feeling led to do this morning, as we close in these last two songs, I'd encourage you to do it. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about what anything else. And again, you don't have to do that, but if there's a sense that you just need to give it to God, this is a physical posture of doing that. So you guys stand with us as we worship this morning.